Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So happy that you've come to today's Scholarship Winners Conference. As Ernie, who would normally fill this spot, would say, we've had many of these concerts and given out many of the scholarships. Talking about Ernie, as you may or may not know, he's recently had a knee surgery. It's gone very well. He's turning into a modern-day version of the $6 million man. And his dynamic self will be returning to us shortly. He's recovering well. He wishes he could be here, but he can't. So you're stuck with me. So coming back to the scholarships, we've given out over 100 of these scholarships over the years, and the amount of $500 to students who are chosen by the Faculty of Music professors. And I think you're going to be delighted by what you hear. As you can see on the program, there's a lot of variety and stuff from everything. And you're going to hear about each piece in pairs from our wonderful and indomitable Sarah Boker. Now, I have to do a little plug for Sarah. Sarah is responsible for producing this thing today. Without her, it would not have come together. And so when she comes on stage, give her a little extra applause, because she's worked very hard. I'm delighted that you're here, as I said. You know, something that Ernie also does is he says, consider, if you will. He always says things like, consider this is all by donation, what you come. And consider what you would pay to go and see a hockey game, or a symphony, or the opera in Toronto, or a massage therapy appointment, or a physio appointment, or that sort of thing. And then consider the value of what you're getting now. That's something along the lines of what he would say. What I would say is, if you enjoy this, and you think it's great, and you want to continue to help support aspiring young Canadian artists, consider what you put in the basket. Consider doubling it. Or more. Or just adding a zero. All those are fine. Those are things that Ernie would say, and I'm honored bound to replicate that. So without more nattering from me, oh, there is one housekeeping thing. For those members of the Guild who are here, we have a very short little members meeting after. Please stick around for that. I would like you please to welcome to our stage today our performers today.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for being here today. I'll be saying a few words about the music you're going to hear, so that hopefully you will not only be entertained, you will be educated, or at least just entertained. We'll hear first from Wagner's opera Tannhäuser, which centers around a song contest. It's sort of like The Voice, but more medieval. To open the contest, Elizabeth enters the Hall of Song and joyfully greets the beloved space, which has been home to such beautiful music. It seemed like a perfect way to start today. This space has been home to so much beautiful music for us. This will be followed by an aria from Verdi's Falstaff. The rogue Falstaff is handily outwitted by all the ladies in the opera. In this scene, Nanetta is disguised as a fairy queen, among a host of other disguised characters, in order to fulfill a plot they have hatched so that she can marry the man she loves, rather than the old man her father wants her to marry. In the aria Sul fil d'un soffio etesio, she instructs her fairy helpers. If you like what you hear, mark your calendars for the Western Opera production of Falstaff, March 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th at 2 p.m. Today, you'll be hearing this preview from singers playing Nanetta, Mrs. Ford, and Fenton. But not to leave out Natalie and Ocean, they're in the upcoming production of Hansel and Gretel, which is actually next week, November 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. So there's lots of live opera coming your way. In the meantime, enjoy this preview from Tannhäuser and Falstaff.
Oh! Thank you.
Next, we have two very different views on love from two very different male characters. Mozart's 1786 opera, The Marriage of Figaro, based on the 1784 play by French playwright Pierre Beaumarchais, tells how the servants Figaro and Susanna managed to succeed in getting married, despite the scheming manipulations of their employer, the Count, and the elderly jealous relatives Marcellina and Dr. Bartolo. However, there's also a brief development of the coming of age of the young page boy, Cherubino, who is starting to notice women and his reaction to them. He serenades Susanna and the Countess with this charming aria, Voi che sapete, in which he begs them to help him understand what love is. What is happening to him? He is in turns hot and cold, trembling, without understanding why. He can find no peace, day or night, due to the power of love. We are contrasting this with a very different man and a very different take on love. Verdi's 1851 opera, Rigoletto, ends in tragedy when a curse placed on the licentious Duke of Mantua for seducing the daughter of a courtier and on Rigoletto for mocking said courtier comes to fruition. The Duke of Mantua is that villain everybody loves to hate. From the beginning of the opera, he informs us that he wants a life of pleasure with as many women as possible, and he particularly enjoys stealing women from his courtiers. In his opening aria, Questo o Quella, the Duke tells us he enjoys chasing this woman and that. Maybe today, this one. Maybe tomorrow, another one. Constancy is a cruel disease.
Oh, mari tingerò a furore e gli amanti le smarie rido e con ario i centocchi di spino se mi punge una qualche metà
The legend of Faust dates back hundreds of years, likely having its roots in the real-life alchemist, astrologer, and magician Johann Georg Faustus, who lived from the late 1400s to approximately 1541. Because he was an itinerant magician and fortune teller, he was frequently denounced by sacred and secular authorities as being in league with the devil. He allegedly died in an explosion caused by an alchemical experiment gone wrong, and the state of his body after the explosion led to rumors that he had been claimed by the devil. The legend grew over time and spawned plays, novels, poems, songs, and operas, all with their own variations of the theme of selling one's soul to the devil in exchange for youth, love, or knowledge, but eventually paying the price. In Gounod's 1859 opera, the elderly scholar Faust bemoans the fact that he has spent his life in pursuit of knowledge, but has nothing to show for it. He has no family or friends and has made no great discoveries. In this despondent state, he is ripe picking for Mephistopheles, who shows up to make a deal with him that Mephistopheles will serve him on earth if Faust will serve in hell at the end of the bargain. Faust is then transformed into a handsome young gentleman and falls in love with Marguerite, whom Mephistopheles ensorcels into reciprocating Faust's affections. In the aria Faites-lui mes aveux, the young man Cybele, a close friend of Marguerite's brother, who is besotted with her, leaves her flowers as a token of his affection. We may not be as familiar with the late romantic composer Alexander Zemlinsky, but he's definitely worth knowing. He studied piano and organ from a young age and was admitted to the Vienna Conservatory in 1884, where he studied piano with Anton Dur and composition with Fuchs and with Bruckner. Brahms was very impressed with his early works and recommended him for publication, and his reputation as a composer was further advanced when Gustav Mahler conducted the premiere of his opera, Es war einmal. He fell in love with a young lady named Alma Schindler, but due to the pressure placed on her to marry someone with more standing, she married Gustav Mahler instead. Zemlinsky did enjoy a career as a conductor, teacher, and composer in Vienna, Prague, and Berlin, where he worked under Otto Klemperer. Unfortunately, he had to flee Europe in the 1930s with the rise of the Nazi Party, and sadly was neglected and unknown in the United States, where he eventually settled. He wrote 8 operas, many orchestral works, choral music, chamber music, and numerous song cycles. The song that you'll hear, Liebe Schwalbe, is from the early cycle Walzergesange, or waltz songs. It is 6 songs, all set to waltzes and using Tuscan folk poetry. This poem invokes the swallow as an early riser to wake up sleeping lovers so they don't sleep in and miss the day.
Sorcier!
It is our day for meeting some new composers. Carlos Gomes was a Brazilian composer in the latter half of the 19th century. He was the first New World composer whose work was accepted in Europe. He was successful as an opera composer in Italy, where he was a little younger than Verdi and a little older than Puccini. He was interested in writing operas with Brazilian subjects, and his operas Il Guarani and Lo Schiavo, which was an opera themed against slavery, inspired by the liberation struggle of black slaves in Brazil, were hugely popular in Italy. He also wrote choral works and three books of songs. In this song, Spirito Gentil, the poet speaks to his love, who must be an angel of heaven, and begs her to think of him as often as he thinks of her. Speaking of comparing women to angels, in Donizetti's opera Don Pasquale, the main character, Don Pasquale, has just disinherited his nephew Ernesto for refusing to marry the woman his uncle has selected for him. Instead, the elderly Don Pasquale decides to marry himself and produce an heir. Ernesto enlists the help of Dr. Malatesta to trick Don Pasquale. In the aria Bella siccome un'angela, Malatesta describes the perfect fictional woman they have found for Pasquale to marry. She is beautiful like an angel, fresh as a lily, with an enchanting smile and an innocent soul. In short, heaven made her to be adored. Malatesta hopes to lay it on thick enough that Pasquale will already be in love with the fake woman that he hasn't met yet.
Angelo in terra pellegrina. fresca siccome giglio che s'appresso mattino occhio che parla e ride sguardo che cor conquide chioma che vincere mano sorriso incantator alma innocente ingenua che se medesma gliora modestia impare già mire bontà che n'amora ai miserie cosa gentil voce amorosa ah, il cielo fatta nascere ce l'ha fatta nascere per far beato un cor per far beato un cor il ce l'ha fatta nascere per far beato
Puccini's opera, Tosca, feels like it hardly needs an introduction, but I will anyway. It is also based on a French play, which Puccini had seen in 1889, and he finally obtained the rights to turn it into an opera in 1895. Given that it was a rather verbose play, the effort to turn it into a concise 2.5-hour opera took another 4 years. It finally came to fruition and has become one of the most frequently performed operas. The plot centers around the love between the painter Cavaradossi and the singer Tosca. Cavaradossi has been hiding an old friend who is being pursued by Scarpia, the chief of police. Scarpia also desires Tosca, and when he arrests Cavaradossi and sentences him to death for hiding the criminal, he blackmails Tosca into returning his affections in exchange for Cavaradossi's life. In the aria, E lucevan le stelle, Cavaradossi has spent the night in a cell and has just been informed that he has an hour until he faces the firing squad. He meditates on when he first met Tosca, how they fell in love, and how much he now loves life and will die despairing because he's had this love in his life. Verdi's opera Don Carlos, at its full length, contains close to 4 hours of music and is Verdi's longest opera. Consequently, it's almost never performed in its entirety. Several equally authentic versions exist, which Verdi arranged for various performances during his lifetime. The opera almost has a Tristan-like plot. Elizabeth, the Princess of France, is being sent to wed Don Carlos, Prince of Spain, in order to end hostilities between their nations. When she and Carlos meet, they instantly fall in love. If it ended there, the opera would never have been 4 hours long. They receive a message that there has been a change in plans. Elizabeth is to wed Carlos's father, Philip, the King of Spain. Throughout the opera, the two struggle with their feelings for each other, but the king eventually suspects inappropriate behavior. Also, much political finagling is occurring. But then it would take me 4 hours to explain. Suffice it to say, the king imprisons Carlos. In the aria, Per me giunto il di supremo, Carlos's best friend Posa arrives to help him. Poza has allowed himself to be incriminated and will be imprisoned and perhaps executed instead of Carlos. In contrast to Cavaradossi, who mourns the possibility of dying while in love, Poza celebrates the possibility of dying to save his friend.
Carlo, uscir tu te da questo orrendo avel. Felice ancor io son se abbracciarti possio. Io ti salvai. Convien qui dirci. Convien qui dirci addio, oh mio Carlo. Per me giunto il dì supremo, non mai più ci rivedrò. Oh, l'estremo spiro, l'estremo spiro, lieto è a chi morrà, morrà per te. No fa cor, no fa cor, l'estremo spiro, lieto è a chi morrà per te.
Aaron Copland's opera, The Tenderland, was written for the NBC television workshop to be presented on television in 1954, but it was rejected by the producers. Unfortunately, it also did not really succeed as a stage work, as it was conceived for the more intimate medium of television. Copland later revised it for performances at Tanglewood and at Oberlin College, and again for a concert version for the French-American Festival. But it has never really become one of his best-known works. It is set in Depression-era Midwestern United States, as Laurie Moss is set to graduate high school. She falls in love with an itinerant worker named Martin, and they hope to elope, but Martin changes his mind and leaves without her, as he fears it will cause trouble for all concerned. Laurie is left alone, but resolves to leave home and make her way in the world anyway. This aria from Act 3 is sung by Laurie as she finishes packing and waits for Martin. The sun is rising, and Laurie realizes she's about to embark on a whole new life. Everything seems newer and fresher. Fellow American composer Dominic Argento did find success writing operas. Many musicians are inspired in their elementary school music classes. Argento described his as 50-minute sessions of excruciating boredom. Fortunately for us, he found more interest in music later. After being drafted into the Army and working as a cryptographer, he used funding from the GI Bill to study piano and then composition at the Peabody Conservatory. He later studied for a year in Florence on a Fulbright scholarship, where he had a life-altering experience studying with Luigi Dalla Piccola. He continued studies at Eastman with Alan Hovhaannis and Howard Hanson, and then received a Guggenheim Fellowship to return to Florence. He was very inspired and influenced by Italy and kept up a tradition of returning to Florence for a portion of every year. He juggled this with being a professor at the University of Minnesota and with fulfilling commissions for just about every major performing group in Minneapolis, and then later for the New York City Opera, the Minnesota Opera, Washington Opera, the Baltimore and St. Louis Symphonies, and many more. He was also close with many prominent singers such as Janet Baker and Håkan Hegegaard, and tailored some of his best-known song cycles for their voices. This song we're about to hear is from one of his more popular cycles, Six Elizabethan Songs, setting poetry from a variety of Elizabethan poets, including Shakespeare and Ben Jonson, and in this case, Samuel Daniels. It seemed risky to place the song Sleep anywhere earlier in the program. I hope you weren't asleep already, but hopefully this is a pleasant way to end the afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Excellent. What a wonderful show. What a wonderful concert. Thank you all so much. And now it's my pleasure to give out the envelopes of joy. That's what I call them. So applaud as you go, or one at a time, whatever you like. As the spirit moves you. Lisa Cheli.
Well done, one and all.
Thank you all very much for coming. As Ernie would say, the basket is over there. And I encourage you to do with it what, well, no, not what you like, because some of you are roguish and I know it. But the basket's over there. Thank you so much for coming. Stay tuned for more concerts to come this year. And I wish you a wonderful Sunday. If you're in the Guild, we have a short meeting right now. And once more for our performers today. And I forgot, because I'm forgetful, Sarah Boker. Have a wonderful afternoon, everyone. Thank you.